And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start, the last day of 2025, and a very happy birthday to our very own Joe Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, happy birthday. What's going on?
And I was hoping you'd forget. Damn it.
Thanks. I can never forget.
Thanks. Actually, I don't know if you guys do this, but certainly, like, I know my wife, like, her mom, like, Katie, like, she'll call her at the time she was born. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the, yeah. So, but I was born, I think, at, like, 4:45 a.m. So, technically, I actually, you know, because it could have been later in the day, and I wouldn't actually be the year older, but thanks. Yeah.
As of an hour and 15 minutes ago?
Yeah. It's a sucky birthday.
Wait. Yeah, you've talked about this before. Like, just the timing of it's not great.
Yeah.
If you're ranking birthday times of the year, I feel like this one's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. What happened to the – I was just watching ESPN. It just went off behind you. What is going on here?
I don't know.
I'm trying to watch a show while we're doing a show, darn it.
Let's see if I can fix it for you.
Thanks. It's crappy. It's crap. For anybody who has a birthday around Christmas, after, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of combo gifts. If you compared to some people who have a birthday in July, it's like, oh, it's a completely different holiday then, you know, and you have – so then this is like, well, just this will work for both things. And then also New Year's Eve in general is like the worst. I mean, New Year's Eve is a terrible, terrible day. Everybody be careful out there. Like, I feel like even just driving at all, like once it gets dark, is a bad idea on New Year's Eve. So it's just a crappy day.
That's why I typically just stay at home.
Yes. That's me too, man. That's one great thing. Just put on the jammies and
there's football to watch tonight, baby. It's all
movies,
I need.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's right. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy birthday, Joseph.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, yeah, I was born January 26th, so I'm like kind of like a borderline holiday.
Yeah.
It's a little bit after.
Should be enough separation.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a buffer there, so it's not total. Yeah, I usually don't get combo gifts.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a little bit of a break there. But, yeah, I was just telling you guys, I feel a little bit of a hater about how uninterested I am in these bowl games.
I don't think you're alone.
I feel a little bit bad about it. But overall, I'm doing great. Happy New Year to everybody, and be careful out there.
Yeah, I mean, I love college football, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I will watch any college football game. Like, you know, I watched part of Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Tech yesterday for no other reason than Tennessee was coming on in like 20 minutes. So, and then I watched it, and I was like, wow, they've turned the ball over 7 different times. It's amazing how this is going right now. So that was fun. But – like, I'll watch, like today, I'll probably watch Michigan, Texas a little bit, see how Arch looks, how Bryce Underwood looks. Like, I'll watch some, but I will say the football part of me is getting killed right now with the Packers coming to a screeching halt at the end of the year, Tennessee, the year they had. It's getting rough on me right now. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? I might be able to use about a 7-month break from football. We're getting close.
Yeah, but you were 6-0 with your lock. I guess I don't have to say with your lock if you were 6-0. And picks can pick them. So
that's true.
There's some football things that are going well.
That is true. Well, Tennessee loses in the Music City Bowl yesterday, 30-28, the final for Illinois on a walk-off field goal last night. Joe, there was a lot going on in that game. You had a kickoff return for a touchdown from Tennessee by someone I've never heard of before. It was a true freshman, which he bobbled the ball, and then he picked it up and took it the whole way. And I don't know that I've seen Tennessee like even elect to return more than about 5 kicks this year, much less bring one back the way that they did. So he brought it back. They take the 28-27 lead, and I'm like, wow, they didn't even have to drive down the field and score a touchdown. They do it on special teams, and then they just never saw the ball again after that. And in the aftermath of it, I mean, look, it's the Music City Bowl. Things don't typically go well for Tennessee in that, which is kind of amazing when you look back through the history of it. I mean, they've had a brutal loss against North Carolina, a brutal loss against Purdue with the way that all shook out, and then last night a walk-off field goal to kick them out of there. They did beat Nebraska.
Good win over Nebraska.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs, I think, ran for 3 touchdowns in that game. But it has not gone well for them at the Music City Bowl. But, like, I don't think last night's game changes like the outlook of the season all that much, other than you get through the end of it all, Joe, and you look at the schedule for Tennessee and the 8-5 overall record, and they didn't beat anyone. Like, they did not beat anyone with a pulse this year, which is, I think, concerning if you're talking about Josh Heupel in year five.
Yeah, look, they ended up with a pretty easy schedule. That's what this is, and if you compare it to what they have next year, it looks – now, again, what schedules look like going into a year, sometimes at the end of the year you look back, and like Texas A&M's schedule didn't look like trash going into this year. Vanderbilt's schedule looked insanely tough going into this year, right? And, of course, Texas A&M ends up like playing none of the top seven or whatever it was in the SEC. You never know, but it looks hard. It looks way harder than this year was. And, yeah, we were talking about it before the show. It's at Mississippi State or the win over Arkansas would be their best wins. I mean, the Syracuse win early looked like maybe it'd be good. And it was, no.
Garbage. They're
pretty bad. So they've got a lot of work to do. It's a big year. I don't know what you want to term this for Josh Heupel. You know, is this a turning point? Is this a fork in the road? Is this – it's a big offseason, and it's a big season coming up for him. To me – I think people are starting to – some are starting to lose a little bit of patience with him and starting to be a little bit concerned. Some of the game management stuff, I think, is – it's a fair and kind of consistent criticism of him. And then, yeah, like what the heck happened to the defense this year? Just completely just fell apart.
They're awful. I mean, defense – and I, look, I know they've already made the change at defensive coordinator.
Right.
And, like, Colton Hood didn't play yesterday and Arian Carter didn't play yesterday. But I get all that. So – I mean, it's not like yesterday's defensive performance was a complete and total disaster, but it wasn't good. I mean, they haven't had a good defensive performance for the most part all year long, with the exception of, like, I thought in the Oklahoma game they played all right on defense, and that probably had more to do with Oklahoma than it did Tennessee, since we watched Oklahoma in the aftermath of all that. So they got a lot of work to do. I said this after the game last night, Joe. You know, Josh Heupel, I know it's loud right now. I think Josh Heupel – there's been more good with Josh Heupel than there has been bad as Tennessee head coach. I still think if you're a Tennessee fan, you need to recognize that. Having said that, it's pretty crucial offseason, man. Like, the urgency level from him in terms of adding to the roster needs to be pretty high, man. Like, it, yeah, and we're going to find out here in a couple days when the portal opens up. But there's a lot of work to be done. And I know people are going to focus in on defense and in the secondary specifically, and there's no doubt they got to add some pieces there. I said it to you yesterday. They're losing a lot on the defensive line. They got to add on the defense in general needs a lot of work, and that's not even factoring in what are you doing at quarterback? Are you adding another wide receiver? Are you adding another tight end? Like, there's – you know, I don't know what they're going to – I think there's less to do on the offensive side of the ball, but they got a lot of work in front of them. And, you know, I'm not saying – I've seen some Tennessee fans say this, and I don't know that I necessarily buy into this. Like, it's playoff or bust. Like, playoff or Josh Heupel gets fired next year. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I need to see it. I need to see, number one, what does it look like? Number two, what is the record? Because to me, there's a difference between, let's say they go 9-3 with that schedule they got next year, and they're in the conversation late in the year, or they're out of it by November 1st like they were this year and they end up 7-5. Those are two very different things when it comes to Josh Heupel next year. So I need to see how it goes. But the bottom line is, Joe, right now, based on the team that they trotted out there this year, that at the end of the day, I think you have to say is maybe an average team at best. They're just not very good. Like, they didn't beat anybody that had a pulse. And you look at their schedule next year, and I understand, like you just said, what we look at with a schedule coming into a year and how it ends up playing out, even in college football, which I do think is a little bit more predictable than an NFL schedule, sometimes it can change pretty drastically. But the bottom line is, you got Texas next year, you got Alabama, you got Texas A&M, you got LSU at home, like, you got Auburn coming in with Golish. You got a lot of big games next year. And a lot of those games are at home, right? A lot of those games or at home, and you need to find a way to, you don't have to win all of them, but you need to win most of them next year. And I just think with the roster they've got right now and the holes that they have, there's a lot of work. Like, if you're a Tennessee fan that thinks they're going like 11-1 next year, They got a lot of work to do if they're going to get to that.
Yeah, look, you have at Georgia Tech. I don't know. Obviously, they're losing their great quarterback, but that's a solid football team. It's on the road after you start out with Furman. Like you said, you have Knox, you have Texas and Auburn coming in. I don't know what Arkansas is going to be next year, but Bama is going to be very good. South Carolina's running it back with their guys. You go there. You go to Texas A&M. Like you said, Lane's coming in. And then you finish at Vanderbilt, by the way.
Yep.
Which I don't know what Vanderbilt's going to be, but I guess Jared Curtis is going to come right in and be the quarterback. And he's already doing, you know, these bowl practices, and people think he looks great. I mean, if anybody saw any highlights of him, you know, in the state title game, I mean, it looked like he was playing against children, but – I mean, he's a talented guy. Like, it's a very hard schedule for them. And so they're going to have to, like you said, rebuild that defense. Rodney Garner is, I think, one of the most – probably the most respected assistant on the staff. And I think he's been – because it is more – it's not just – again, if you markets are kind of set on a lot of things. And so, you know, you can – Texas Tech goes out there and pays 1.5 times what anybody else will for some players, fine. But that's – for the most part, like, it still comes down to other things besides money in a lot of these situations, you know? Some of it's opportunity. Garner is a guy who I think has been why they've had such tremendous depth and talent up front. People want to play for that guy. People believe he develops players, gets them ready for the NFL. They need to, like, do serious work there because it all starts there. And that's last year when the defense carried them, that's why.
Yeah. Well, and the bottom line also is, like, I do think there's a lot that they've got to get done in the portal. But they've got the best recruiting class they've had since Heupel's been there. And the fact is they're flat out going to need some of those guys to play. Like, they're going to need some of those guys to play. So that's another thing on Heupel. Like, we have not seen that many guys. It's not like we've seen zero, but we've not seen that many guys as true freshmen come in and impact the roster under Heupel, and you're going to need to see a couple of them at least this year.
Yeah, the backfield is like Bishop will be back, but you got to find at least one other guy who you feel really good about there. For that, that's a place where freshmen can come in and in the secondary at corner for sure and make a difference. So. That's important. Look, the one thing you can say about this year, the offense came back, right? Like, the offense looked like the Tennessee offense of the first 2 years under Heupel. So that's good. Even with the, you know, your way down the list quarterback that you sort of had to settle for. So you can build on that, but the other side of the ball is the concerning part.
Oh, and even with that, like, in your bigger games, the offense wasn't what you needed it to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the offense looks great against ETSU and Arkansas, but you got to find a way for it to look better against Alabama and Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, which it did not look great in any of those games.
And I would also say, how different is this year if you make a field goal against Georgia?
That's a great question. And look, you know, I know that people are going to bring up the kicker all day today, and I get it. It's a conundrum for me with him because I think by the numbers – he's the most accurate kicker they've ever had. But every time he trots out there for a big kick, I don't know. I look at his face and I'm like, I just don't think he's got any confidence in the world that he's going to make this kick. And that's stupid on my part. Like, I'm sitting there trying to read body language of a 20-year-old kicker. I have no idea what's going on through his head. But, I mean, you make that kick yesterday, you're in decent shape at the end of the game there. You make the kick against Georgia, which both of them are kicks you should make as an SEC kicker. And to your point, how much different does the season look on that point?
Yeah. What do you know about Ray Finkel?
Nice.
Yeah, you could easily do worse. That's the problem, especially, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's alarming, and it's just the worst thing when you have someone who's good. It's almost like the offense you're talking about. It's like, hey, the numbers overall look good, but, like, when it really matters, do you perform?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Tennessee loses in the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. What do you make of Josh Heupel and the work that has to be done this offseason for the Vols? We will get into that. Vanderbilt in action today against Iowa. We will get into that. College football playoff beginning in the quarterfinals today as well. We got a lot of college football to get into in the first hour of the program. Paul Kuharski will be with us later in the show, getting into all things Tennessee Titans as well. Busy show today. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on Tennessee, they lose 30-28 in the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl yesterday. 8-5 on the year for the Vols, and they did not beat an FBS football team, Joe, with a winning record. That was all over the place last night on social media. So that's not good. We'll see what that looks like. I mean, we're going to find out here in the next little bit. I mean, the portal opens up here in a few days, and then you know, in the days and weeks after that, we will see what that looks like in terms of the roster and how aggressive Tennessee gets. And the good news is, Joe, I mean, this time around, this is the portal window, and you don't have to worry about anybody leaving in April. So that's good.
That is true. Yeah, it's different now. So however this plays out here, you know, you're going to have spring ball, and that's it. That's your team.
Quarterback in spring will be your quarterback in the fall.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, that would be a little different than – last time around. So then quarterback, of course, is the big thing. Yeah, we've talked about some of the guys yesterday. Another guy I'd throw out there who is very talented, has not put it all together, I'm sure intriguing. Aiden Childs, who's leaving Michigan State. I mean, tremendous athlete, tremendous arm. At times, you know, looks really good, has been inconsistent, also playing for bad teams.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. He's been playing in a pro style, you know, hard play action, fullback type offense. Very different from obviously what Jess Heupel does. But just as a talent, that's someone, you know, you could think about. I mean, what we don't know is like how far away they think McIntyre may be. You know, you just assume with Brandon, like true freshman, just like you got to assume he's good with sitting next year, but that's a big question. And then can you bring in someone? And the fact that you can get an Aguilar and he plays that well in the offense is encouraging, but maybe it's just that he fit it well. And also that guy was old. And there's something experience to that too.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're going to go get a transfer portal quarterback, experience would be what I'm looking for. And you know, I know people have thrown out Mestemaker a lot, and you know, I don't know that I would be upset with that. He's talented. He's not overly experienced. I know he just played this year, but he's not overly experienced. So I'm interested to see how they handle that. Bottom line on this is this. If you really go back and look at it, Joe, for whatever reason, and I think there are plenty of explanations early on why this was the case, but I think the deeper you go into Heupel, like the more he's here, the less patient people are going to be with this. He has not been able, for whatever reason, to get both sides of the ball figured out at the same time, right? Like early on in his tenure, they weren't all that good on defense, but the offense was humming, right? Like 2022. I mean, 2022's defense was better than 2021's defense, but, I mean, they still gave up 63 against South Carolina, right? Like it wasn't that great of a defense, but their offense was so explosive that they – just shelled people that way. Well, 2023, your defense starts to kind of turn around and get better, but the passing game takes a big step back with Joe Milton. 2024, you make it to the playoff. You got the best defense you've had by far. Your passing game, not very good with Nico. Well, this year, you start to turn things back offensively, and your defense is the worst it's been since you've been here. So you got to find a way, and I know it's way more complicated than how I'm making it seem right now, but you got to find a way to get your offense and your defense, if not humming along at their top level, at least being able to complement each other at the same time. And he has not been able to do that to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I think the formula for Tennessee, although, again, they made the playoff last year with a different formula, but I think the formula, just based on Heupel's background and his strengths, should be great offense, solid defense. You know, hey, if you can have great offense with last year's level of defense, well, then you've got a team that could really do damage. I mean, just this offense, because you're right, they didn't have the same success against the best teams, but they did still. You know, you had some huge mistakes, but like they still moved the ball against Alabama. They moved the ball against Georgia. They didn't finish drives. They made some huge mistakes. They had some huge turnovers. But I mean, if you took, I think, this offense with last year's defense, I'd like to see what it looked like. You know, it is strange that it's sort of been a seesaw thing, and that they haven't been able to put those things together. And that's the thing is, you know, I think they did certainly shore up the offensive line. That was one of the big criticisms going into this year. For this year, they did.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's the thing too is like, you they're going to have some important portal adds, I think, in just about every spot to have the kind of team that they want to have next year. And to your point earlier about the playoff, you know, you look at that schedule. If they're 9-3 and they don't make it, but they're competitive in those other games, and that mean 9-3 is huge wins. There's no way 9-3 next year doesn't include huge wins.
Agreed. Yeah.
So as much as you want to say, you know, playoff or bust, I think there's a way to not make the playoff, but to still show clear progress next year.
Well, that's the key. Like I think you mentioned it earlier, fork in the road, crossroads, whatever you want to call it. The question right now, the fundamental question right now for Josh Heupel that's going to define, I think, whether or not he's here long term, are things starting to go the other way, or can you adjust and right the ship and get back to a point where you're competing for a playoff spot, getting in the playoff, those sort of things. And then after that, like at some point, you're going to have to determine if you're Tennessee, like is he going to be good enough to compete for championships? And, you know, we'll see. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. Like, I think if he can put together top level of his offense and have defense come together at the same time, then maybe they can. But he hasn't been able to do that yet. We'll see.
Yeah, and yeah, college, it's different now. You know, I think it used to be very clear, I think, in college football, momentum. And you can tell when it starts to go. I think that's still the case. But, you know, program building, I mean, it was all about your recruiting classes and stacking them. And, you know, now it is. You can, in a given year, you can tremendously improve your team. Also, in a given year, you can get plundered.
Yep.
and take a big step back. You know, that's another thing. Like, is there any threat? Like, is Mike Matthews going to play that game again? Someone going to try to get him out of there?
Uh-huh.
But they
have
need
to be ready for that.
But I do think that, and I think I don't have a problem with what Heupel has done for the most part, because look, the best teams for the most part, I know Indiana's different. Indiana is just a totally different deal. But, you know, look around. It's still largely a lot of teams built on great recruiting classes that have been stacked over years of years. But I do think that Heupel needs to be more aggressive, and he needs to be able to spend more money out there this year.
Yeah, I think there are times where you don't necessarily have to do that, but I think – and I think you're seeing it a little bit already, right? Like, you know, firing Tim Banks, it's not really a Josh Heupel move.
Yeah.
But I think he understands that, I mean, it's going to have to change heading into next year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Vanderbilt in action today. The college football playoff quarterfinals beginning today as well. We're going to get into all that coming up. We got a special edition of Pigskin Pick'em later this hour as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We got a special edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up here in just a few minutes for a couple of reasons. Number one, got the college football playoff, a lot of college football this week. And number two, Rex Road's falling behind in the competition. He wants more kicks at the can. I think that's the real answer.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
I know
it's
probably a bad idea. It's just going to be like a total humiliation. Yeah. I mean, my record is horrific. I'm like 47-60 or some crap.
You are 47-61.
47-61. My God. Hey, it's a good, you know, it's a, I you know, got a child who is just like a lot of people. It's like, ooh, these sports books on your phone. Oh, like, yeah. Let me tell you something. You may think you know about sports. Be careful. Be careful with the gambling, kids. So this is a good reminder to me.
That's good advice.
To not put any money on anything. Ever.
Good advice.
Ever.
Very good stuff. Joe, rapid fire here. Quick thoughts on Vanderbilt and Iowa coming up today in the ReliaQuest Bowl in what I think is going to be the last time we see Diego Pavia in a Vanderbilt uniform.
Oh, 100%. Yep. He's moving on. He's on to the NFL. No matter the case is that's for other people. So, yeah. This is his last game, and it's going to be really interesting. I mean, look, Iowa, for example, held Indiana to 20, you know? Like that's always a solid defensive team. Now, a couple years ago, we saw what Tennessee did to a solid Iowa defense. But Iowa's offense was so bad then that also that, you know, talk about non-complimentary football.
Maybe the worst offense I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was just so bad. So I'm very interested. I'm excited to watch Iowa's defense deal with Pavia and that offense. Again, I said it before, but I think that that offense, when it's operating at its best, is as good as any or right up there with any. But Iowa is a tremendous test of it. So I'm excited for that game. And obviously it's a chance for Vanderbilt fans to watch Pavia one more time.
Yep. Maybe I may help if I turn my microphone on. That won't count. That won't count. College football playoff begins tonight. So we got the quarterfinals coming up the next couple of days. Miami and Ohio State is tonight. I'm very intrigued by this game. I think it's got a chance to be an absolute defensive slobber knocker out there.
Yep.
What do you make of this matchup? I think Ohio State is a 9.5-point favorite, and we'll get into that here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, you're talking about tremendously talented defenses, guys going very high in the draft on both sides of the, you know, on both defenses. And you're talking about an Ohio State team that, to me, is still the most talented team. And what Indiana did to them in the Big Ten Championship game was just amazing. It has changed my perception. Even Indiana's win at Oregon, you know, didn't change it as much as that game did. But I think this could be like a 13-10 kind of game, just like that game. You know, I'd kind of be surprised if it isn't. But if Carson Beck can make a couple of big plays in this game, then I think they have a chance. I mean, this is the game that's by the odds makers the most lopsided matchup.
The game that, to me, I am most interested to watch from the standpoint of, like, I've seen a little bit of Oregon this year. And, you know, I think we have a baseline of what Oregon is as a program. I'm very interested in Texas Tech, who, admittedly, I have not watched a ton of this year. I know they've got a very good defense. Their offense is up and down. Oregon's a 2.5-point favorite in this game. That one's tomorrow, I think, at 11 local time. I am very intrigued by that one to see what Texas Tech has against a team like Oregon.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited for that game. Because I picked Texas Tech to win it all. So, and that's Baron Morton, their quarterback. He's been hurt. He seems to finally be getting healthy. They can run the ball, you know. But the offense, still a lot of questions against great defense. We'll see. Well, maybe we'll see. Maybe we won't, because Oregon's not a great defense. But Oregon is a great offensive team, and so this is a strength-against-strength matchup that I can't wait to see.
It's going to be really fascinating. Again, Oregon a 2.5-point favorite in that one. Alabama and Indiana. Indiana a 7.5-point favorite in this matchup. I saw Nashville Predators owner Nick Saban on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was talking about it like he's going golfing with a bunch of his buddies. And he's like, yeah, you know, we just beat Indiana, huh? Like, Indiana, I can't really accept them being good at football. And Saban's like, hey, guys, you watch them play against Ohio State? It was funny to watch him explain it. But more than a touchdown favorite, Indiana, 7.5 points.
It's wild. Like, just to think, does Alabama have a chance against Indiana? Can they hang in?
Imagine having that conversation 4 years ago.
No, 2 years ago. Yeah. It's. I mean, a year ago, it was like, what a great story, Indiana. Hey, go get your butt kicked by Notre Dame. Okay, thanks. What a great one-year story you are. This is not that. So I'm probably most excited for this game. I still believe the problem with Alabama, they don't run the ball. They can't run the ball.
Nope. And that's, I don't think that's just going to change now.
Right. Now Indiana does miss one of their best players up front on defense. So we'll see what that means. I'm really like Indiana with the ball against Alabama's defense. Alabama doesn't have a great defense, but they have a capable defense. They have playmakers, and, you know, look, Kurt Cignetti, it's clear. He's a great coach, and I think that he wins the X's and O's matchup damn near every week. And so this is a big, you know, Kalen DeBoer and, you know, all this time to prepare, this extra time. I'm very interested to see if Alabama's defense can come up with some answers. Because Fernando Mendoza is very good, but he also, like – And I know he's probably going to go number one. Do you when you watch them or him, like, do you think, oh my God? To me, it's not like watching, you know, like what you know, some of the great quarterbacks in years past, or
Andrew
like
Luck,
yeah, or Burrow or whatever.
It's not the same. No,
no, it's you feel like, you know, you should be able to get some stops in that game. So it's also supposed to be rainy out there at the Rose Bowl, which almost never happens.
I'm also if Indiana wins, I'm very interested to see the Fernando Mendoza post-game interview. Could be electric.
Let me tell you something, guys. Life is beautiful, and I'm going to tell you why.
Could be electric out there. Obviously, you know, as a Tennessee fan, I am pulling for Indiana in this game. But really, it's because of that. Like, I want to see Mendoza's post-game interview.
What about angry Mendoza? What would that be?
Well, I'd like to see that, too, yeah, now that you bring it up. Right. Does that exist? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he know what that means?
He'll find the bright side.
Ole Miss and Georgia in a game that we have seen already this year, but an interesting game because Ole Miss on the road at Georgia earlier this year, Joe, was really in control of the game for three quarters, and then they basically choked in the fourth quarter. I think Georgia has gotten a lot better since then. Ole Miss, I mean, you know, they had their scrimmage in the first round of the playoffs, so I don't know how much you take away from that. But they're clearly motivated after all the Lane Kiffin stuff. I don't know how this one's going to go. I think Georgia is playing as well as anybody right now, so we'll see. But a rematch that, you know, normally you get a rematch and you're like, oh, God, okay. This one's got a little juice to it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I this is the only one. Well, I mean, the Rose Bowl is always, like, a great place. You want it to be involved in some way. But, like, those two teams playing in the Sugar Bowl is kind of cool, you know. I mean, two SEC teams should be about split. Georgia's got a lot better since that game. You know, one thing that I didn't realize, but, I mean, it's been made very clear this week, is that Charlie West Jr. is the play caller. He's been the play caller. I thought it was Lane Kiffin. But he's like, no, by the way, I've been calling plays all year. So I would assume if he said that it wasn't true, Lane would have had a complete tweet assault on it. So that's an interesting thing. Look, I think America should be rooting for Ole Miss, frankly. I mean, Ole Miss should be America's team. And I don't like their chances, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see it. It'd be an amazing story for them to get at least this win. Obviously, to make a run would be even better. But just this win would mean a lot. And apparently, Lane, what, going to be there with the governor?
Is he?
Lane may be the guest of the governor.
I'm sure that'll go well.
Yeah. No, that'll be. I have no idea if that's true, but that's at least the talk out there.
Lane, I might stay at home for that one. We'll see how it goes.
Pass the gray poupon, Lane.
Wow, a lot of golf balls coming at the box right now, huh? Mustard bottles.
You get like bulletproof glass. Jeez. In your suite.
What's going on? Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Blaine to the program. Blaine, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So, at two things, and I'll just listen off the air. First, talking about the college playoffs, I think Miami is going to maybe win outright and definitely cover the 9.5. Secondly, I think tomorrow Georgia is going to boat race Ole Miss, definitely cover the 6.5. I think Kirby's going to have these boys ready to play. And I think it's going to be a slaughter. And finally, you know, I've been talking about the Battle of Nashville the last few days and how great it's been. There's games all day. The championship is Bartlett versus Catholic today at 3. Bartlett's got D1 commits and D1 prospects all over the court. They're unbelievable to watch play. So, if anybody wants to come watch some good high school basketball, come out to BCA and come watch it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Blaine. Appreciate the call. Joe, get out there. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Probably I'm not going to make it today. But sounds like some good hoops. Always in favor of good hoops. I don't know about Miami winning outright. That'd be a stunner. That would be a stunner. I hope it's a good game tonight.
We're going to find out. We got our picks coming up next. Pigskin Pick'em, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A special edition of Pigskin Pick'em. We'll have another one coming your way on Friday, so you get double Pigskin Pick'em this week.
A lot of things to not bet on when I pick.
A lot of things to not bet on. College football only in this particular edition. We got big couple of days of college football coming up. A standings update in the competition. I went 6-0 last week with my lock. Good stuff. Ian Safar, 3-3, no lock. Joe Rexrode, 1-5, no lock. Bringing the overall standings. I'm in first, 58-50 overall. 8-10 on my lock, 66 points. Ian Safar, 51-57, 7-11 on the locks, 58 points. Rexrode, 47-61, 10-8 on his locks, 57 points. That's where things stand in the competition.
Oh, boy.
We begin with the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is coming up here in just a few hours. Vanderbilt taking on Iowa. Vanderbilt, a 5.5-point favorite in this game. Joe, I will take Vanderbilt. Give me Vanderbilt to close out the Diego Pavia era in style. They will get the win. They will cover against Iowa. Ian Safar, who we got?
Vandy. Give me my lock.
Wow.
Might as well. I mean, compared to any of the others. Give me Pavia, baby.
Locking down on the doors. Joe Rexrode, who we got?
Like, do I strategically just try to do things different from you guys to try to gain ground? Or maybe I should just cut my losses and just copy everything you do and maybe I'll be better off. But no, I'm going Vandy. I think Vandy will win the game. Again, like I said, very interested to see if Iowa's defense can give them trouble. Very solid, sound defense. But Vanderbilt doesn't mind 14 play drives, and I think that's what you'll see some today.
Oh, and I also think Vanderbilt still motivated to show people, hey, screw you. We should have been in the college football playoff. And I think a lot of times people say that. I think this Vanderbilt team actually believes that, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Michigan taking on Texas later today, this afternoon. Texas, a 6.5-point favorite. Ian Safar, who we got?
Texas.
That was quick.
Yep.
Ian, believer in Texas.
Yeah, I'm just not a believer in Michigan, more so than Texas. Arch is going to play, right? So
yep.
I'll go with Texas.
Joe Rexrode, Michigan and Texas coming up today. Texas, a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas, too. Michigan, of course, just hired Kyle Whittingham. That's a pretty good save for a coaching search that could have been really rough after all the stuff that's gone on in Ann Arbor. Bryce Underwood will play. I still think he is a talented guy who could have a big future, but right now he's not that good. So I'll take Texas.
I am also going Texas. We are all the same to this point.
I'm not making up any ground here.
We'll see how that goes. Now we get to the college football playoff. Beginning tonight, Miami taking on Ohio State. Ohio State is a 9.5-point favorite. Joe Rexrode, you were up first in this one.
Yeah, give me the Canes. I think Ohio State wins by about a touchdown, but I think the Canes defense can keep this close, and I think it'll be a good game. Give me the Canes and those points.
I will go Ohio State minus the 9.5. I think it'll be a good game throughout. And Ohio State pulls away late in the fourth quarter to win by 2 touchdowns. So I'll go Ohio State minus the 9.5. Ian Safar, who we got?
I'm going to take Miami plus the 9.5 here. Not really sure why, but I'm going Miami.
When Miami plus the 9.5 has a chance to be a good battle out there. Oregon taking on Texas Tech. Oregon is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Give me Oregon and make it my lock. I'm locking
down
on the Ducks. Texas Tech going to have to prove it to this old codger right here who doesn't think that the Big 12 is any good. So I'll go Oregon, locking down, minus the 2.5. Ian Safar, who we got?
I'm also taking Oregon. I don't love the early start for them, though.
Nope.
That is an early start for a West Coast team. But I'm going to take them to cover.
Going Oregon minus the 2.5. Rexford, I think we know where you're going, but I'll ask you anyway.
Yeah, nothing like a nice Oregon-Texas Tech battle in Miami at 11 a.m. and 9 a.m. Oregon time. Texas Tech, make that my lock.
Oh, yes.
Guaranteed.
So now we know where the rubber meets the road. This is my chance. Come on, Red Raiders. Cody Campbell, your stupid commercials. Let's go, baby.
Rex Road going with Texas Tech to cover the 2.5. He's locking down on that one. Alabama and Indiana. Indiana, a 7.5-point favorite in the college football playoff quarterfinals. Ian Safar, who we got in that one?
Take Bama. They cover. 7.5, right, you said?
Yep.
Get the extra half point there in case touchdown. I'll take Bama.
Ian going with Alabama. Joe Rexroad, Indiana at, or Indiana against Alabama in the neutral site, which is just your favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bama too. You know, it's Ty Simpson's going to have to be tremendous in this game to me, but I think he can be. And, you know, it's time for Ryan Williams, who's had a very disappointing sophomore season, to just make a couple of those ridiculous plays. I mean, they have an arsenal in the passing game that should be able to do some stuff in this game. So give me Bama.
I'll go Bama as well. The half point is the difference to me. I think Indiana's going to win by a touchdown on the dot. So I will go Bama to cover the 7.5, but I think Indiana will win, and I will have all of my eyeballs glued to the Fernando Mendoza post-game interview. Ole Miss taking on Georgia. Georgia a 6.5-point favorite in this one. Rex Road, who we got?
So someone said that I made Mendoza sound like what? Fire Marshal Bill?
Fire Marshal Bill.
Let me tell you something. That's an interesting one. give me Georgia. I want Ole Miss to win. I'm rooting for them. It would be an amazing story. But Georgia is, they're a team that could win it all.
I will take Georgia as well. Ian Safar, who we got between Ole Miss and Georgia?
Don't love the extra half point there. But I'm going to take Ole Miss plus 6.5.
Let's go.
Ole Miss plus the 6.5.
That's right.
In that matchup. I tell you what, if Ole Miss wins that game, Joe, boy, people are just going to be yelling at Lane Kiffin. Like, nice job, you idiot. You could have had a chance to win a national championship here.
And he'll tweet out a picture of his contract showing everybody how he gets bonuses for them winning still.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But, no, that would be – I'm here for all the screaming at Lane Kiffin that can happen. So I have a chance to only gain 3 points on you then. That stinks.
I mean, there's still – we got the entire – college football playoff remaining. We got the NFL playoffs up to the Super Bowl. We got the Super Bowl itself.
And we do have another one this week, so yeah, that's good.
There's plenty of time.
Our next show, back-to-back shows with Pigskin Pick'em.
Yeah, we got plenty of time coming up here in the competition. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. An interesting piece on a prime head coaching candidate for the Tennessee Titans that we will get into coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you're looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.